Welcome back, everyone, to another incredible episode of Chat with Dan. Now, before we start, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to check this out. Don't forget to leave a like, subscribe, follow. It helps a lot. And again, thank you. Have an incredible day or evening, depending where you are. And I'll see you in the next one. Stay safe. So welcome back, everyone, to another incredible, super episode of Chat with Dan. For today, we have the incredible, the amazing, the epic, the badass Madison here. Madison, how are you today?
I am great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I mean, what better way to almost finish the year with such an epic chat as someone with someone as epic as you? You know what I mean?
Aw, well, thank you. I appreciate
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. So welcome here. And now, for those who don't know who is the incredible, super awesome, badass, epic Madison, please tell us who you are.
Hi, my name is Madison, or Maddie, or Mad, whichever you want. Right. I am an actor and makeup artist based in Toronto, Canada.
There you go. There you have it. I love it. Now, let's go back in time and tell me where this passion started. Like, what triggered it?
Honestly, it goes back since I was really young kid. I mean, I always remembered making dances and performing and showing them to my parents, and just always wanting to, you know, sing or kind of watch movies and act them out with my Barbies. And I always wanted to perform, and I always wanted to put on a show. And whether that was for my parents or my friends or, you know, family. And it's just something I've always loved. And then eventually I got put in theater as a young child, and I continued to do theater all throughout my childhood and teenage years. I did 3 professional shows at Stage West when I was in high school. And then eventually I decided, you know, it's something I want to do with my life. And I ended up going to college for acting.
There you go. That's badass. I love it. And tell me, like, what were some of the challenges that you have? You know, when you were recently making your first steps into a professional career, what were some of those, let's say, challenges that you came up to?
Well, obviously, when you're in school is a safe place. But after you graduate, you're thrown into the real world. That's where the scariness starts. That's where the challenges start, because while you can still go back to teachers and use them as mentors and ask questions, and while we still learned all of that in school, the main challenge I remember being an actor fresh out of school was, okay, what's my next step? And it's so easy to look at long-term goals and just focus on that. But what you really need to do to jump over those challenges is think of short-term goals. It's like, okay, get some headshots, find an agent, start auditioning. And the challenging part is just getting there and jump-starting your career and trying not to focus on, you know, what other people are doing. Just focus on you. And I think that's really important, because while, of course, you love seeing your peers in the industry also succeed and do well, what you really need to look at is, okay, maybe I'm not there yet, but what challenges are going to prevent me from getting there, and how can I get over those? And then I would say 6 years later or 7 years later, I would say the biggest challenge I have now, and especially because of COVID, is how do I stay creative? How do I keep a creative mindset? And how can I continue to love this passion of mine? How can I feed that passion every day? Because obviously in your career, you'll always go through, you know, times where you're not busy, where you're not really doing anything, and you may get in a creative rut. And acting is just one part of the puzzle. But it's some advice that I recently got from an old teacher of mine is, just because you're an actor doesn't mean you only have to do creative things that have to do with acting. You know, paint a picture, read a book, do some writing, and that will feed your passion even more, because art is art and acting is creative. And I feel like it's so important to stay in that creative mindset, because it will make you a stronger actor. You will go through experiences, and just keeping your brain creative is just, it's important, and it could be anything. So
there you go.
So yeah.
I love it. That bring and I find also pretty interesting that for some of the actors, they create their own projects. You know, I ended up also like with some of the people that I've interviewed, they told me that during the like the whole COVID, that the auditions were yeah, there were less auditions to do. So because of that, they were like, okay, so I have a lot of time right now, so why not create my own stuff? So they will search for people who have cameras, people who have lights, microphones, and they will all gather and you know start to create. And I found that pretty cool because you're also, continuing growing the community, but at the same time you're using that community as well to give opportunities besides to you to others as well. So
I feel like I should say also, a few years after I graduated Humber, for acting, I went back to school for makeup for media and creative arts. So I not only act and audition, but I also work on film and TV sets doing hair and makeup and special effects, because that's just another outlet to get myself in the environment and just another creative outlet for me.
yeah, and I mean that's incredible. You basically little by little start to do everything. I love it.
Right.
I love it. But now that you mentioned like the whole makeup, tell me more about it because you know I don't know much of it. So like walk me through like what is the whole process to it?
So as a makeup artist for film and TV, there's a lot of prep that goes into it. So depending on the production, of course. Now I haven't done anything like super huge, like Netflix or anything like that.
Yeah, of course.
I have worked on a show that's on Crave called Dark Side of the Ring, and I worked on, or not Dark Side of the Ring, Dark Side of the Decade. And they have two seasons, and I worked on both seasons. So that show, we start prep a few weeks ahead of time. As the makeup artist, you need to look out who the characters are, create the looks for them, or if they're based on real people, reference those real people and the timeline that the show is in. Get the makeup and the products, and the wigs that you may need to turn these actors into these real people. Or when you work on another show where you have more creative outlet, obviously you discuss with the director, see what they're looking for, and do all the prep work to make those characters and their looks come to life. And then you can do, some productions offer test looks.
Wow.
So before you shoot, you actually get the actors in your chair and you do like kind of a few different looks and see what the director likes. And then the one that they do like, that's kind of the look they have for the rest of the show. It's really fun. It's really
Yeah,
crazy.
it sounds fun.
On set can be a little crazy and hectic when you're on the other side. And then you become the actor's best friend usually, because they're always in your chair. You talk to them a lot, and it's just really fun to be able, as a makeup artist myself, to talk to actors,
Yeah.
because we can go back and forth on things we've done, what we've learned in the past, some of our favorite experiences, and also just some of the things, like I've said before, that keep us creative and passionate.
That's incredible. I love it. Do you bring like your own equipment or they provide it for you? And when the project ends, do you, I mean, if they provide it for you, do you get the chance to keep with one or two things or how, like, how does that work?
So a lot of my kit is a lot of it is things I have purchased myself,
Okay.
just because I know their basics and things that I need for, just to have in a basic makeup artist kit. And then depending on the production, they will give you a budget and you can buy the things you need for that production. So let's
Okay.
say one of the characters has purple hair, but I need to buy purple spray or a purple wig, but I don't have one. I'll use that production budget to buy that wig. Although sometimes I do have the things I need and I don't have to bother, but when the production is done, all that stuff I get to keep.
That's
So,
so cool. That's
yeah.
cool. I love it. yeah, moving on here back to your acting career. Tell me, like, how you prepare a character. Now you understand, of course, that depends on the role, but what is your initial approach?
My initial approach when it comes to preparing for a character is obviously reading the script from start to finish, and doing my research on, like, let's say there's a character that has a specific quirk to them, or Like recently, I did something where my character was had an addiction, and I knew that from the start when I auditioned for it, when I got the role, after I read the script. So I did a lot of research on that addiction and kind of the things that go along with it, like mannerisms, maybe things they'll do when they're listening. Maybe they don't really make eye contact. And of course, you want to discuss with the director. As an actor, you can talk to the director and ask them what their approach is, and you can go back and forth with ideas. But ultimately, I'll do as much research as I can. Sometimes I find myself, like a few days before we started filming, I found myself kind of, if I was just at home, trying to embody those mannerisms and that sort of character. And how would this character go about their daily life? How would they wake up in the morning? What would be the first thing they would do? How would they interact with people in public? Obviously, I wouldn't go to crazy measures in public
Yeah, of course.
and startle anyone.
Yeah, of course.
And definitely for addiction, I wouldn't go method or anything like that
No,
because
we don't want
that would
that.
be a
Yeah,
little
that
too,
would be too much. Yeah, no.
But typically, I do my research and I try to a few days before I try to embody the character, and then while I'm on set, before we do a scene, I'll kind of wait, be by myself, and kind of breathe and just breathe because breath is so important with acting. Just breathe until I find that character and. And then I just kind of go for it.
There you go. I mean, it's amazing. And also the fact that sometimes it can take you to a very vulnerable place, right? I mean, specifically when you're about to portray someone who is in a vulnerable situation. I mean, you want to kind of transport yourself in that way. So, I mean, I find pretty amazing the fact that you like the work that you managed to do to get that done so we can see it, you know, and all those moments that you need to play that even though that are not the. Are not yours, but it's someone else. You know, I find it pretty cool the fact that you get the chance to do that. So, wow, it's amazing. I love it. Now, has it ever happened to you that there was this character that took you the most? I mean, that's something about this character that was just not clicking.
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, that I will have to say that particular character, even though I did what I could to prepare for it, there were a few scenes that were tricky because no matter how good of an actor you are, you may have trouble with some characters and you may not completely embody them as much as you would like to. And obviously, playing someone that has gone through life in a way that I had never gone through is challenging because while acting is a imaginary circumstances in real life, it's still hard to live things you've never lived before. And experience has so much to do with acting. And I feel like there were some scenes specifically that I was having a little bit of trouble with because I was getting in my head a little too much. And perhaps maybe I just needed to focus a little bit more on those scenes, but I didn't realize until I was in the moment.
Yeah, of course.
But of course, like at the end of the day, I was still happy with the work I did, but there were challenging scenes for that. For sure. So I guess I would say that because it's fresh and it only happened a few weeks ago is the most is a thing I can think of.
There you go. I love it. Now, how you break character? I mean, do you usually be like, okay, I mean, so you shoot the scene, they say cut, and you're like, okay, let's go to lunch. Or like, is there like kind of specific process you do usually when you break character? Like, what is your thing, let's say?
For the most part, everything I've done, when we cut, depending on the scene, I will like not talking about like lunch or something, that's a little different, but
Yeah, of course.
if we cut and I know there's still more to do, I will still try to embody that what I'm already doing. So if if my character is supposed to be upset and looking down like this and I'm acting the scene, and let's say they cut, I will stay like this and I will try to still keep that emotion in me. And if the director has like a note for me or is talking to me, I'll just answer still like this. Like I'll try my best not to like look up or anything and try to lose my focus.
Yeah, lose the moment. I get it.
I will still try to stay as much in that character as I can. Lunch obviously is a little different. I mean, if I know there's something emotional or big that happens afterwards, maybe I'll keep to myself. Maybe I'll just kind of go over lines, go over some notes for those scenes that we'd be doing. But it really depends on the project, and it really depends on the day or what we're shooting. That I'll still have fun. I'll still laugh. I'll still, I'll go back to Madison, you know.
There you go.
But of course, once work starts, work starts.
There you go. I love it. That's that's amazing. And also, I mean, I would love to be at some point be like on a set, you know, just watching, because like the whole magic that happens behind the scenes that we, the audience, don't know about, you know. I mean, we just see the final project and that's it, which is fine. But yeah. I mean, like whenever there's like a behind the scenes on something, I'm the first to watching it because it looks super fun.
Yeah.
You know, and regardless if it is like a very, like for example, for a horror film, it's still fun. And I find that pretty interesting. Yeah. The fact that they get like the whole vibe behind the scenes, it tends to be happy and all cheery, you know, so that's cool.
Well, horror movies are definitely a lot of fun because if there's a lot of blood involved, sometimes people are just, actors are just hanging out with like, let's say a wound or something, and they're just coffee in between takes. And
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like I once interviewed someone who she specialized into most of her work is creature work in horror films. So she will be the monster. So she told me that it was super hilarious that the whole makeup was ready to go, you know, and it was all scary. And then someone from the crew would just walk in, and then you will see the monster drinking Starbucks and just watching it and just checking out memes, you know, be like what the hell, you know, like like so surreal that in about, I don't know, like 15 minutes, the monster will be screaming and running and all of that. But when they say cut, they will be back on checking Instagram or just
joke
here and there, you know. So that's pretty cool, you know. And also, once told me that they love doing horror because they can, like, whenever there is, because they're like super emotional, if they're having like a bad day, they can like exhale all of that, you know, like put all that vibe and use it as fuel to make the best performance, and they will end it up like super happy and relaxed because it is like super, you know, emotional. And so,
oh, for sure. I did a makeup on a short film in the summer, and the one actor I did like this crazy burn makeup on, and we had to walk him across the street, and he was getting some weird looks. Like,
hell yeah.
I don't know if the, I think I remember I wasn't there. He was walking with one of the crew members, and someone was actually like, "Oh my god, are you okay?" And it's just like, "Oh no, it's just makeup. It's just makeup." So at least I know I did a good job.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love it. You know, once I dressed as a zombie for a Halloween kind of a marathon. So they need people who wanted to be zombies. So I was like, yeah, I want to do it. So they fooled, you know, I had to. So the whole marathon started at 9, so I had to be there like at 5 so they can prepare everything. But anyway, at the end, I was full costume, everything was cool. And then at the end, one of my best friends was with me, and I was like, "Hey, do you want to go for breakfast?" I'm like, "Yeah, let's go." I mean, at that moment it was like 10 or 12. Like, "Yeah, let's go for breakfast." Okay. So at that moment I forgot that I was full costume to it. You know, I mean, of course that I changed clothes because they were all, you know, all ragged and everything. Yeah. So I changed clothes. But for a second, I forgot that I was still with the whole, you know, prosthetics. I was like, okay, let's go. So we went to this restaurant, and they didn't want to let us in. And I got like really like, I got really pissed because I was like, what is wrong with you? And the guy was like, no, what is wrong with your face? And I was like, what do you mean what's wrong with my face? Nothing's wrong with my face. And then when he showed us, we were both with makeup. We started laughing, and then we realized that there were like a lot of people who were. You know, who they were like a little uncomfortable because you would see like piece of flesh, ooh, you know, like touring or things like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was hilarious. I was like, I love that.
Want to eat your food around rotting flesh, you know.
Or an eye might spill and be like, oh, there you go. You know. But yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, that's awesome. Now, let's say that one day I call you and I tell you that I want to become an actor. Now, I don't have like tier experience, like zero. So based on what you know, what advice could you give to me for someone who doesn't know anything about it, but wants to start fresh, you know, wants to start this career full force, like what would you say to me?
Well, first of all, if you're passionate and you tell me that, I say go for it. Of course. Like if it's something you truly want and it's something you're passionate about, 100%, go for it. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're starting fresh out, I wouldn't suggest to drop everything and go full force, because that could be a recipe for disaster, but also it's your life. So I can only give you the advice that I would take myself, and just from my own experience. But obviously, if you're starting out fresh, number one, take a class or take a course, go to school, because agents and casting directors really do like to see some sort of training. Absolutely. On an acting resume. So that would be number one, of course. And once your training is done, you know, and that could be anything. You could go to college, or you could go to school. You could take a conservatory acting program. And once you're done school, don't stop taking classes. It's really important to take classes, of course. Like once you're done school, it doesn't mean you're done learning, because acting, there's no such thing as like you'll never finish learning. You'll always learn and discover new things as you become characters, as you break down scripts, as you talk with other actors, as many projects you work on, you'll always learn something new. So definitely continue to take classes all throughout your career. And that could mean a dance class, a dialect class, you know, a clowning workshop, just anything. And people love seeing that you're still continuing to learn. You're still continuing to just focus on honing your skills, basically. And also, when you take classes, you meet new people and you meet new actors. And it's really great to connect with people that are passionate about the same thing you are. Then, of course, once you've kind of got that under your belt, get headshots. And you can get headshots whenever. You can get headshots at the beginning, just as long as you update them as you continue your career. Like if you change your hair color, your agent will want you to sort of update those, because then casting directors can kind of see what you look like now and not see a blonde headshot, but then when you arrive at the audition, you've got black hair or anything like that. Because that's not what they were expecting. But of course, once you get your headshot, you can also look into building your demo reel. So a thing that a lot of actors have done, and this happens while you're in school, because normally when you're in an acting program, it also depends on what school you're going to. I was fortunate enough that the college I went to also had a film production program. Cool. So we would, as the student actors, we would act in the student films that the production program would put on. And those are great to add to your demo reel, especially when you're starting out. So just building that, and it will take time, but at least you have something to show agents and for casting directors to see. So of course you have your headshot, you have a small little demo reel, and of course those will grow and build the more you do things. You can even take it to the next level. And if you're interested in doing voice work, get recording some little commercial spots on your phone. Or if you want to go to the next measure and you have a nice little recording setup, you can do that, or go to a studio. But of course, it all depends on what your agency will eventually want you to have. So once you've got a nice demo reel and a headshot under your belt, it's time to start submitting to agencies. And I always tell young actors, don't just submit to one and get your hopes up. You may do your research on one agency and really love them and have your heart set. But of course, you should do your research on multiple agencies just to find what one you feel like you would fit best in. But of course, submit to as many as you can, because you may get an interview with the one that was on the top of your list, and then you realize, maybe I wasn't really feeling them. But maybe the fourth one on your list, let's say, you really had a connection with that agent. And so, sure, you can have a number one, but just keep an open mind and submit to as many as you want, because unfortunately, if you have the one you're really dead set on, and they don't take you, and it's not because you're not talented. Maybe they're not taking any new actors at that time. Or maybe they want you to get some more experience. So definitely submit to as many agencies as you can. And of course you get the experience from doing that and also by the interview process. So there's that. And then once you have your agent, keep a good connection with them, build a relationship, and audition and look through the databases they want you to sign up for. See what's playing. As an actor starting out, you know, when you meet people in your class, maybe discuss, you know, getting together once a week and reading a screenplay or reading a play and just having fun with that and staying in a creative environment. It's definitely important. So once you're finally in the game, do your best to continue to play, you know, and sit on the sidelines and watch and don't wait for things to happen. Make things happen. Write a short film, write a small, a short play and make it, you know, and it might be scary, but sometimes just doing it, starting it and doing it and finishing it is all it takes. And you'll feel great. Even if you're not super proud of it, it's still something you've done and something that you should be proud of as an actor and continue to create and just be artistic in any way.
There you go.
So, yeah. That was a long-winded.
Oh, I love it. I mean, I will drop the mic basically because you basically drop it here. That's so cool. Now, tell me, what has been some of the worst auditions you ever had?
Okay, so I definitely have one that came right to my head as soon as you said that. So I remember I was, this was a few, long time ago. I remember I was with my cousins. We were hanging out. It was just like a nice day. We were we were somewhere. We weren't at home or anything. Like, we were out, and I got an audition, and I got an email for an audition, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. That day, and I had to be there, you know, in 3 hours, and I was like pretty far from where I had to go.
Okay.
So, and of course, the audition, we had to dress in like 80s clothes. Like, it was all 80s. So I had to rush home, find a way, because I didn't have a car then, to rush home, find as like what I could to create this like 80s look. I did my hair up and teased my hair and put on like whatever I could find that spoke the 80s to me. And then of course I didn't live in Toronto. I was still living with my parents, and I drove to the subway, hopped on the subway, got to the east end of Toronto, and then I get to the audition studio, and I wait. My name gets called. I go up. I go into the room, and they say, "Okay, slate your name, and then do a 360 spin." So I slated my name in my 80s outfit. I did a 360 spin, and they're like, "Okay, thank you," and that was it. That was it.
Huh. Okay, yeah, that's weird. So,
So I honestly can't remember what it was for, but I mean, looking back at it, I in the moment I was just like, what, that was it? Like, you're not gonna make it something else? And then looking back at it now, I'm just like, huh, that was funny, you know.
Although I'm super sure that it was for a commercial. What I have discovered is that some of those weird auditions are 100% for a commercial.
Yeah, definitely. I think it might have been. I can't really remember, but it didn't have any lines. And I was glad, because I really had no time to memorize. But yeah, it was just one of those things. And you know what? Sometimes that's the name of the game.
Absolutely.
And you just gotta move on. And
you dress as you were in the 80s, so that's fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Cool. Okay, I'll take that. Now let's say, you know, that one day Netflix, HBO Max, Disney Plus, you name it, they come to you and they tell you that they got this idea, which goes that all of the characters you have played at the moment, they're gonna gather to celebrate your birthday, but the film needs a name. So how would you call it?
Oh, all the characters I've played.
Yeah, all of them.
I would say the movie would be called, I don't know, am I allowed to swear?
Absolutely. Yeah, go ahead.
Shit show. Because I've played a drug addict, I've played a murder victim, I've played a murderer, I've played a teenager, like a cheerleader teenager type. I feel like if you got all those people in one room, I've played other things, I just can't think off the top of my head. But if you got all those people in one room, let me tell you, some shit would go down, I'm sure.
So definitely one of your characters will be murdered.
Pardon?
Yeah, like one of your characters will be murdered in that film.
Probably. And it would most likely be a scary movie or a horror movie.
Okay, interesting. I like it.
A horror movie about a birthday party.
Mm. And would you make a sequel to it or just stay with one?
Depending if I stayed alive on my birthday, then maybe I would.
There's only one way to find out. There's only one way to find out.
Yeah.
Let's make that happen one day. I love it. Now, let's say that for your birthday, you get a time machine. But here's the catch. You can only go back in time once and to meet the 13-year-old version of yourself. So what would you say? So what would you say to that little you?
I would say live your life.
Mm.
I mean, when it comes to an acting way of looking at life, I would say follow your dreams. I know that sounds really cliche. Follow your dreams. Don't give up, because there have definitely been many times, I mean, from then to now, that I've wanted to give up. And totally. I just kept pushing, and I thank myself for it. So I would say keep going, keep pushing. Times will get shitty. Times will be hard. You may feel like you're not good enough. And you know what? I feel like everyone in this industry, in any industry, has that mentality at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is what you love, 13-year-old me, keep at it. Don't give up. Times will be hard, but you know what? Once you get past those hard times, things will be better. But at the same time, focus on your career, but also focus on your life. Do the things you want to do, you know, go on a trip, go out for coffee with your best friend, you know, like your career is one thing and you should be passionate and you should work hard towards it, but don't forget to live. Don't forget to live your life.
There you go. Know? I love it. Yes. I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's interesting because when you're at that age, you don't really think about enjoying life, you know? You think about some other stuff. But then once you get older, you're like, I should have enjoyed more. Or at least, you know, try to take things differently. But I mean, yet again, you were young, naive. So, yeah. So I get it. I love it. Wow. I'm pretty speechless right now. I don't know what to say. All right. So, moving on here. If you could describe your whole career, but on a drink, how would you call it?
Like a type of drink or a name of a drink?
Both. Let's go for both.
My career, I would say black coffee, because it's bittersweet. Hmm. It's bittersweet. I'm personally a black coffee drinker, but yes, sometimes your career can be a little bitter and maybe even make you bitter. But you still love the taste and it still energizes you to keep going. And I would call it Maddie's Black Coffee. Mad Black Coffee. I don't know.
That's badass. Okay, I'll take it. Okay. I like it. Okay. Yeah. That's pretty cool. All right. And my last question here is, like, what motivates you? You know, as you mentioned before, that there are moments in which you want to quit. And it's so interesting because sometimes things are okay, you know, nothing bad is happening, everything is normal. But we suddenly get into this idea that we are not doing, that we are just messing up. So how you manage to put away, silence those thoughts and be back on this journey that you have created for so many years now?
Something that definitely motivates me, I would say, is being around creative people. When I see some of my friends from acting school, hearing the things that they are currently doing or want to do, it really just like feeds my soul a little bit. And While I say not to dwell on what other people are doing, sometimes, you know, sometimes it does motivate you. Sometimes it does put that fire under your ass and get something like, cause it's like, oh, I'm doing a class. So she's like, oh, you know, I should do a class. Like, I haven't done a class in a while. And that's a, that really is a motivation. And especially when it comes from people that you truly care about. Mm. Something else that motivates me is, just doing art in general. You know, I have mentioned before, creativity is so important, and I have been writing my own short film. It's been in the works for a few months now, so it's still pretty new and fresh, and I'm still learning about these characters that I'm creating. But it really motivates me to it motivates me not only to become a stronger actor, and it is helping me become a stronger actor, but it just motivates me to make my own work. And sometimes auditioning and auditioning and auditioning and not getting anything, it can be draining and it can really suck. And it may make you feel like you're not good enough, but I just decided one day, I'm like, who says I can't write something and make it myself and act in it? You know, maybe I want to just write a character for me. And auditioning doesn't mean you're not a working actor. You still are, even if you're not booking. But sometimes you just need to do something for yourself and make your own stuff with friends or with a small budget, and get a group of those creative people that feed you and keep you passionate together, and just create something beautiful.
I'm gonna drop it now. No, it's incredible.
So that sounded like gibberish to me because
no, I mean it's yeah, I don't know what to say anymore. No, but I mean it is true. And also I would say the fact that just enjoy it, you know, because I do think that sometimes when we are like in the moment on something that we love, and we are not in the situation that we want to be, I mean, you're still in that. I mean, you're still doing what you want. You know what I mean? Like, my point here is that sometimes we forget that, like, perhaps, right, that you will get frustrated because you are auditioning and no calls. But if you look back, you are doing it. You know what I mean? Like, my point here is to just enjoy it. I mean, yes, it's frustrating, of course. And the fact that, and like, one of the things that I do love about actors is the fact that you guys will basically go through hell to make it happen. You know, like
sometimes it feels that way. That's for
yeah,
sure.
Absolutely. Because I ended up discovering that sometimes, I mean, it's hard and it's difficult because perhaps you will have a project right now, but for the next 3, 4, 5 months, you will have anything and you need money, you know? So it tends to get frustrated because of that. But what I find pretty cool is that no matter what, when it's time to perform, you always bring us to the audience your 100%, you know, your best performance. And that's not easy, of course. I mean, especially if you're through some very personal difficult moment, but the fact that you can put that away on, I mean, put that on a side so you can play somebody else and share a story for us, I mean, that's pretty badass. I mean, just saying, but it is pretty cool the fact that you get the chance to do that. So
of course, yeah.
Wow. I mean, what can I say, Maddie? I love your career. It's incredible what you do. And I'm super sure that our next conversation is going to be about the hundreds of thousands of projects that you have been involved with, because it's more than obvious. I mean, come on, let's face it. Because the fact that you're doing it because you like it, and as easy as it may sound, we all know that it's not, that it's a pain in the butt, you know, that sometimes it takes years or even decades for you to finally discover what makes you happy. And once you find it, then work on it, you know, because that's another thing here. And the fact that you're like still doing it, that you have overcome those barriers or even those moments in which you want to quit and you're still hanging in there and showing us that everything's possible, I mean, that's pretty badass. Absolutely.
Oh, well, thank you.
Absolutely. I also want to thank those who watch this video. Thank you so much. If you are either listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, make sure to go follow Maddie like right now. I mean, this episode's over, so just go follow her. I'm going to leave in the description below her link to her Instagram so you can follow her. I mean, let's make her viral. Hashtag Team Maddie, because she's incredible. Oh, she's awesome. And again, Maddie, thank you so much. Have an incredible upcoming new year. Keep killing it. Keep inspiring, because I'm super sure there's hundreds of people out there who sees you as an inspiration or as a role model. And the fact that you're doing it,
so nice.
It's incredible. So keep pushing.
Thank you so much, Dan, for having me. This has been an awesome chat.
Absolutely. And I'll be definitely seeing you in the next one.
Of course. Awesome. Take care. Have a great new year.
You too. Bye.